Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, we come today to exalt the wonderful name of Jesus, and we are so excited that you have joined us on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God, yes, God, is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. Oh, child of God, God said that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And because of your diligence, God have a reward especially for you. And I tell you, this is the time and the season for God to tremendously reveal and manifest that reward unto his people. On today, I have another glorious lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that you, yes, you, and you are going to be tremendously blessed on this lesson on today. We're going to be speaking in regards to risen with Christ. Our thought is going to be that breaking forth, all nature teaches us that after death, that there is a breaking forth of new life. And I tell you, even with the death of the old year, we are breaking forth into this new year as seeing how God is miraculously moving in and through and among his people, even yet on today. And child of God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless, and we are going to hear of some marvelous things that God is going to be doing in and through the life of his people in this season. God is going to just overtake and bless his people in a fashion that we have never seen before. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, I'm sitting in the spirit of anticipation, waiting and ready to receive all that God has for his people, and he's going to bless us without a shadow of a doubt. And so on today, our lesson text is going to come from Romans chapter number 6, verses number 11 and 13, also Romans chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. Then we're going to look at Acts chapter number 2, verses 1 through 4. And then our focus verse is going to come from Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. I tell you, child of God, you're going to be blessed. Let us pray. Father, we come to your throne of grace, Father, right now and hastening, even right now, asking that you will bless us in a mighty and a special way. Bless all of the listeners, Lord, that this word will find a good place and good ground within their hearts, mind, and soul. And Father, we thank you because you are the righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel. And God, we give you all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' holy and matchless name. We pray, amen and amen. So let us take a look here at our scripture text, and I want to give you a couple of scripture references that you perhaps can read in your own time, and you can write these down. That's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 11. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Colossians chapter number 3. Verses 1 through 17. Then Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13 through verse number 17. And finally, 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 2. And these are our scripture reference in which we will be taking our text and our lesson from throughout this day and for this lesson, Risen with Christ. And so take a moment, even after we get off the air, to take a look at that and further explore the scripture and read as our backdrop for today's lesson. Now let's take a look. at the passage of scriptures that we're going to look from the biblical text today is there in Romans chapter number 6, verse 11 through verse 13. And it reads on this line, "Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now, let's look at Romans 8, verses 10 through 11. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now let's look at our next scripture reference that we have for today, which is found in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 1 through verse number 4. And it reads on this line, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And now let's look at Colossians 3, verses number 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Let us look at our lesson on today. We're going to be focusing on risen with Christ. And let us see how that we can take and apply these principles onto our lives on today. Let's look. Our concept of accomplishments, the accomplishments of Calvary, will never be clear until we become conscious of both the legal and the vital aspect of redemption. Now, the legal side of redemption is what God did for us in Christ, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. It is the finished work of the cross that satisfies the demand of the law of sin and death. Paul expressed an illustration of this truth in his epistle to the Romans. He spoke of Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 25. Now, the vital side of redemption is what we are now made in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, let's take a moment for right there, and let us begin to unpack that for just a moment. Now, the scripture clearly states that if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. And so let's take a moment there and see, because I believe sometimes we wrestle with what God has spoken in our lives in regards even about our lives. Now, if God said that you are a new creature, we must begin to recognize that it is so and it is true in our life that we are indeed a new creature. And so what we've got to begin to ponder on is that I am made new. All things, the old things are passed away. Even though I'm looking at the old, in the spirit realm of God, all things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And that's what happens to us, because when we look out of our natural eyes, we still see yet the same skin. We see still yet the same face. We see still yet the same individual. But in the eyesight of God, he said all things, old things, are passed away. And so those old things are passed away out of my life. And that's what is key for us to recognize that that is past. And what a great time to begin to look at that, even as we are embarking on a new year. We must begin to really think and hold in our heart and mind that it is of a fact and it is of a truth that all of those things that I used to be and that I did before through Christ, it is passed away. But what happened is that because we are familiar with the old and we are comfortable with the old and we know the old and things, and it's a routine habit of our life of the old, we are so comfortable there that we automatically just go back there to those old things. But what God is saying unto our hearts, that we must make a shift in our mind with the scripture, because the scripture says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And so when old things, old habits, old mindsets, old familiar behaviors become imminent or present in your life, you must stop right there in your booth and in your track and begin to say, no, all old things are passed away. When the enemy comes in our mind and say, well, you need to pick up this or you need to go back and start doing that and things, or even whatever it may be, put your hands back on these things that God has so graciously delivered us from, you got to say no and say, the old things are passed away. When even if a person who had a habit of even maybe cursing and things, when that word comes even in your mouth or in your thought, you have to immediately grab it and say, no, old things are passed away. And behold, the scripture says, all things are become new. I am now walking in the newness of life. And we must begin to declare that we're walking in the new. And so until we verbalize that and open our mouth and speak it out in the atmosphere, because God said, I watch over my word to perform it. And so each time I'm speaking it into the atmosphere, God is watching and saying, oh, she is walking now into the new. So what I have to do is begin to put her path, her feet into the path of the new, because now she is willing to move forward into the new. She's confessing that, she's believing that, she's speaking that, and that's where the action of our faith comes in things of taking the scripture and bringing it unto life and walking in the word. And that's how we walk in the word and begin to say, I'm walking in the newness of life. All things are new. Everything is new in my life. And when we begin to declare new and begin to seek out the new and begin to be in the spirit of expectancy of the new, new is going to come to you. Because let's take another look and let's revelate this. Because what happened is that the scripture states very clearly is that according unto your faith, so be it unto you. If your faith is saying, I'm walking into the new today, then guess what? New is going to come to you. But if we decide not to even to consciously raise our mind to receive what the word of God and the promises of God have for us, then guess what? We will, even though you are filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost and being faithful in the God and things of God and things, unless you raise your consciousness, awareness, and expectation, and even your standard that I'm not going to live beneath what the Word of God declared for me. I must begin to be a declare and decree what God has for my life and begin to tell my feet, you're walking in the newness of your life. And you walk and speak to my hands and say, hand, new is coming unto you. Because the scripture said, behold, all things are become new. And so we as children of God, we do not have to live in the past or beneath our privileges because the scripture declare all things become new. And so new is coming to me today. Now what would that be like? Oh, child of God, what would that be like if every morning I will wake up or an individual will wake up and begin to declare, new is coming to me today, because the scripture said, behold, all things are become what? New. And that's how we walk in it. That's how we confess it. That's how we speak it out in the airway and watch it come unto you, because you are declaring and you are decreeing all things are made new. And so, child of God, I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to do it unto you. Now you grab the principle. And now you can walk in that principle. Now you can decree that principle unto yourself and things. And so now just write down on your piece of paper. I just feel led to give instructions today. Write down on your piece of paper, every morning I'm going to wake up and declare all things are new or become new and things. What happened yesterday is over. What happened at 11:59 is over. I'm now standing in the new. And if we can say that every day, we will see the newness of life coming to us. The scripture also states for us to renew our mind daily. And so we as the children of God, we must daily renew our mind. And so we have to get up and begin to declare, today I'm going to renew my mind. That God, yes, I love you. God, this is a wonderful day. This is the day that you have made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad therein. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new, and I'm walking today in the newness of life. Yes, yesterday was a hard test. Yesterday may have been greatly challenging, but you must declare that today, I declare I'm walking in the newness of life today, and put your heart and your mind to it and step to it. I said step to it and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. Let's look further in things. God's process of building the very nature of Christ into the life of the believers begin as we are risen in the newness of life. It is important that we recognize that all that has been wrought for us through Christ's substitutionary sacrifice, it belongs to every believer. Now, what it's saying here is that everything that Jesus Christ did on Calvary as being the substitute for us, paying the ultimate price and being the pardon of our sins and being a ransom for our paying the ransom for our deliverance and our liberty, we have access to all of that. Now, what does that mean to me as a child of God? What does that mean to you as a child of God? Number one, we are crucified with him. You'll find that over in Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. Also, we died with him. Romans 6 and verse number 8. Then we are buried with him in baptism. Romans 6 and verse number 4. Also, we are raised with him to walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and 4. Then we are made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2 and verse 6. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ is called to share the glories of his exaltation. We shall reign with him in glory and in power. So that's your God-given right to reign with God in glory as well as in power. And that's your right as a child of God. We must reign with him, sit with him, sup with him, walk with him. That's your God-given right as a child of God to do that. And so, child of God, that's what God has given to us as the people of God. That is your God-given right. Now, let's look further. By his death, burial, and resurrection, Christ has broken every claim that Satan had on us and has brought us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Now, we honor Jesus Christ and his word when we live in full enjoyment of our inheritance in him. And so how we can honor him is to begin to accept and give ourselves permission to receive all of him. On last Sunday, God had given us a word to speak to the church, and that was receiving the fullness of him. We have received the fullness of him. And I come to tell you, child of God, from that message, God moved in a miraculous way, oh my God, that the children of God was able to see the glory cloud. They even seen God just move in a profound way that we never ever experienced before. After we spoke that word through and by the power of God, the glory cloud of God just came in and just filled the temple, so much so that the people of God was just tremendously, tremendously blessed by his word and power divine. So much so one of the precious saints said, "Pastor, I even seen the color of your skin even change while the word was going forth and things." And I'm talking about the power of God and his glory. And that's where God wants us as the children of God to be able to tap into and enjoy his power as well as his glory and things. Because guess what? When he allows his glory to come in, guess what we're going to do? We're going to give his glory and give him all the glory and give all the praise. But guess what? He wants to sup with us. He wants to abode with us. He wants us to walk in that newness of life because it's for the children of God. Oh, yes, it is. It is for the people of God as never before. If you hunger and thirst after it, you will see it, and God will give it to you because you hunger and thirst after his righteousness. Now let's look further at another aspect of the glory of God. Let's look at the significance of the resurrection. And we're going to look at one point here. The kingdom of darkness is defeated. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest event that has ever taken place in the spiritual kingdom. Satan was defeated. Jesus became the head of a new creation. He arose triumphantly to the full stature of his glory in the very presence of his adversary. Now, Colossians 2 and 15 state, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it." Now, Satan had been successful in holding every person who had gone into the regions of death. His power of death had never been broken. Now, when Jesus entered into the region of death, however, he had gone and done no sin, and there was no guilt in his mouth. Satan could not find nothing in Jesus that he could claim. As Jesus has told his disciples just before Calvary, "For the prince of this world and cometh and have nothing in me." We'll find that over John 14 and 30. Now, if Jesus had told one lie, the devil would have had a claim on him. Since there was nothing in Jesus authored by the devil, he could not be held by death. Jesus was the only one who could enter into the region of death and come out victorious. He had not only triumphed over the principalities and powers, but he spoiled them. See Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 18. It was not a false battle, but a real conflict into which Jesus entered for our sake and won against our adversary. He arose the champion and captain of our salvation. Though Satan had power to pull angels with him into his fall, he did not have power over Jesus. Now, it is no exaggeration to say that the resurrection of Jesus was the greatest event in history, and it shall always be the greatest event in time and history. Now, it was brought into reality a new creation. Now, Jesus himself was the first fruit of it. Without this, our hope would be in vain. Our preaching would be in vain, and we would remain lost in our sin. 1 John 3 and 8 states, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Jesus destroyed the power of the devil by bringing into existence a new creation over which the devil has no power over it. Now, you must recognize, child of God, the devil don't have no power over you because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The only power that the devil have over a child of God is the power that they give him. Ramashanda. I hope you caught that. It's only the power that we yield over unto him by going back to the old ways, by opening up a door to the old behaviors and not declaring that I'm new. The old has passed away. We must turn our hearts and mind over to Jesus, and he will empower you with the power that you need to overcome every habit, every behavior, every mindset, every past experience that comes to overthrow us and try to pull us back into that old man. What we must do, the child of God must continually, as never before, is declare out of their mouth, "I am new. Behold, all things become new, and I'm walking in the newness of life." Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 4. That's your declaration. I'm walking in the newness of life. And watch God bless us, because the devil have no power over us, only the power that we yield and give unto him. So recognize that and hold that in your spirit, in your mind, when even when the enemy comes to tempt you to go back and do the things that you know you shouldn't do, you got to stop and recognize that, no, I'm walking, I choose. There's two paths that set before me, the old and the new, and I choose and make a conscious choice of choosing the new path. Now, let's look at another aspect, victory for us. Now, in the upper room, Satan witnessed the result of his defeat. He saw men and women recreated. He saw them receive new life. He saw their sins remitted and blotted out as though that they never been. Now, we must recognize that every time a child of God gets filled up with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, guess what? The adversary can see the power of God that is on their life, And he also sees the newness of life that is taking place. Don't you know that is why the adversary fights the children of God and fight that one that just received their the baptism in Jesus' name and even the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Because he recognized that you have just received the newness of life, and he does not want you to get away or that child to get away. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that God is going to do this thing in and through the life of his people. And that newness of life is what the devil come immediately to fight, because he does not want you nor any other the children of God to receive all that God have given unto them. So you walk in your blessing, child of God, and you declare every day the newness of life and that you're walking in that. Now let's look. He has power and energy. The child of God have power and energy of the Holy Ghost inside of them. They become aware of the fact that the new creation people were his master, and he realized that these men and women have the authority to use the name of Jesus. So look at that. That's why the adversary is mad. You have the authority. Once an individual, and many people fight the name of Jesus, and I want to speak specifically to those that don't understand the name of Jesus. I want to speak directly and specifically into your heart. If you don't understand and you have been taught that not to get baptized in Jesus' name, I want you to go back to the scripture and go back to God and get down on your knees. If you go to the book of Acts is the history in the New Testament of the church, the history and things of the birthing of the church. And you will see that God, Jesus gave everyone the commandment to the apostles at that time, because they were no longer considered as disciples because they had been seen by God and sent to on that mission to spread the gospel unto the lost world. And so they were on that mission, and he declared and taught them to baptize them in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sin. You go back and you study the scripture, like the Berean church. They study to see whether these be true. And read throughout the book of Acts. I tell you, if you read the first 10 books of Acts, it will give you, or even the first 19, in that it will tell you everything that the apostles, which were the disciples, that taught and the birthing of the church took place at that time. You must be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin. Yes, he'll forgive us of our sin, but for our sins to be remitted, you must go down in the precious name of Jesus for the remission of sin. Because guess what? The devil will recognize that you have the authority to use the name of Jesus. And once you have that authority to use the name of Jesus, you're going to see the power of God as never before being wrought in your life and things happening. And that's where that new creation takes place of, because now that person that's been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, now they are empowered with the power of God and the energy and the synergy of the Holy Ghost. It's God's spirit living within them. In Christ, I live and move and have my being. And guess what? That same spirit is moving and living inside of us. Now, he was the person that even the devil saw the joy-filled hearts where sorrow has once reigned. He's seen in that upper room that of the new creation. He saw the defeat become masters. The defeated became the masters. He saw his slaves shaking off their mantles and things, and he saw the new race of men and the new species coming into being. He saw the new birth taking place. He saw God take men out of his grips and fill their heart with love where hatred had reigned supreme. He saw the devil saw the righteous become a reality. He saw the strangest phenomenon to see men and women stand in the presence of God without the sense of guilt and inferiority or condemnation. The devil seen all of this on the day of Pentecost. And he trembled in his boots because he witnessed the new creation right before his eyes up there in the upper room in Acts chapter number 2. And you can read it and things. This shook the very foundation of hell. Everything that was accomplished in Christ was for us who believe. His suffering was for us. His victory over death. The grave was for us. Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 14 through 15 states, "For whereas then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Now see, child of God, you're no longer subject to bondage. Even when things come to try to hold you and to bring you into captivity, you got the power in the name of Jesus to declare no more boundaries. No more bondage. I'm not up under the bondage of nicotine. I'm not up under the bondage of alcohol. I'm not up under the bondage of the old mindset or the old mindset of defeat. I'm not up under the bondage of poverty. I'm not up under the bondage of inferiority. I'm not up under that bondage no more because I walk in the newness of life, and all things are becoming new unto me. And that is reveling every day. And the children of God, we must recognize and we must claim that and things, because we can read it. We can look at it. But until we claim it, until we become it, until we allow it to be manifested in our life and say that I'm worthy to receive all that God has done, the fullness of the Godhead is bottled in me. I'm the walking and the breathing tabernacle in which the house of the Spirit of the living God, the Most High God, dwells within my vessel, dwells within my being. And until I begin to meditate on that and begin to comprehend it and understand it all, I will begin to live in the place where God will want me to, and my mindset will come up to where he wants me to come up, because guess what? The Most High God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace dwells within my earthen vessel. And that's why we must, as children of God, we got to honor that which God has done. We must begin to wrap our minds and heart around the fact that he has chosen us to be his children. Now, Jesus did not come to the earth as an angel, nor did he come as even a Superman, but he was clothed with our flesh and tasted death for every man. That means that Christ is related to every man through the cross. Now, that's how that you can go or meet people and begin to say, oh my God, it seemed like I'm sister, it seemed like I knew them, and probably the first day you ever met them. Well, because God has brought us through the cross, by via the cross, all together as one. And now we have that same like kindred spirit. Even though I don't know you, but I can feel the kindred spirit like I've known you all your life. Because of the cross and through the cross of Calvary, we are now related and we are now fashioned together as children of God. The dominion of Satan has been broken, and we are delivered from the bondage of fear and death. We are not only made free from sin, but we become servants of righteousness. Now, when we begin to look at Romans 6, verse 17 through 18, "But God be thanked that ye were the servant of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Now, the resurrection of Christ speak of a new creation, and this is what we become in Christ. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17. And I want to encourage you to write that down and meditate on that scripture and bring it to your remembrance. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 17. It is wonderful to be part of God's new creation. Our old nature has become dominated by our five senses. Our new nature is operated by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Abundant life is the promises of our Lord to those who will dare to believe and receive it. We find this real in our new recreated spirit. The inner man become a new creation. Now, I want you to catch that, because a lot of time where the enemy overthrows the precious child of God and the precious new thing, they don't recognize it is the inner man that have become the new creation. And as we talked about earlier, because we still see the old and we still see the old things happening and taking place in our life and things, that's where the adversary can come in and overthrow the mind, is because you still yet see the old. But what we have to declare is that in that new creation, the inward man, it's going to manifest as we continue to walk with the Lord, as we continue to stay in the scriptures and stay in the word and stay in prayer, stay in the house of the Lord and Christian education and Bible study. You're going to begin to see all of the miraculous things that God wants to bestow in and through the life of his people. Now, he has received the life and nature of the Heavenly Father. He become partaker of his divine nature as we believe and act upon the word of his promises. And so we must begin to act on the word of his promises and declare what he says and be what he said he has created us as and things. And just, you know, a little exercise that probably can help us in that transformation process is when you, even every day when you do on your personal hygiene, as you look at yourself through in the mirror, begin to declare, I am a new creature. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things has become new and things. I am a child of God, and the evil one touches me not. I belong to God. And as you begin to open your mouth and openly declare and confess it, transformation is going to start taking place. The revelation or the manifestation of the divine nature of God will begin to exude through your life, and the essence, all of the essence of God will begin to start manifest in your life, because now you are speaking it and now you are receiving that which God has so graciously provided for the children of God, and the manifestation is going to come forth of that. Now let us look further and things, even into the spirit of the resurrection. Now the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is resident in those who have truly been filled with his spirit. Romans 8 and 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, Romans 8 and 11 gives us both the key to our resurrection and translation, and also an assurance of our quickening and made alive of our mortal bodies. This includes here in this life and also in the eternal life to come. You must recognize that Jesus Christ quickened us. There was when we begin to look at when a person is being resurrected or revived or resuscitated, there is a quickening in the electrical forces that is going to shock the body to come back to life and cause the heart to pump back again. Well, guess what? When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, God quickened, brought to life that which was dead, the things you couldn't see, the things you couldn't hear, but the things that you knew of but you couldn't hear from God came alive. And so God is quickening us every day. And guess what? To take it a step further, child of God, you can begin to say, quicken me, God. quicken my mind. Holy Ghost, quicken me. And watch the Spirit of the Lord quicken you and bring forth life unto you. Our translation from the mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruptible, will not be the result of our righteousness, you know. And a lot of people get caught up into what they have done down throughout the years and time. But if this thing is going to be coming mainly and purely from God, and things of what he did, none of my righteousness can result this. Nothing that I've done and given unto charity can birth this thing out. It is purely the result of the life-giving spirit that dwells down in us. Now, through repentance of sin and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, we experience a real change. Our internal enmity against God comes to an end. We receive a new heart through the circumcision of the old one and a new spirit quickened by the resurrected life. It is wonderful to receive the Holy Spirit, but it's another lifelong experience to learn how to walk in newness of life. Romans 8 tells us of the law of the Spirit of Christ in Christ Jesus. So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, this law or principle become operative in our lives after we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, that's why it's key that you need the Holy Ghost, because that law of the life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus begins to operate in our lives. Now, we no longer are slave to our five senses, but God give us a higher law than that of the mind and the flesh. And this law is the law of the Spirit of life that supersedes natural laws. It quickens us. It brings us to a place of new life, even in the spirit realm, to understand what God is doing in and through the life of his people. It was on Sunday when I arrived at church, if I may share just a really brief testimony. The Spirit of the Lord just put in my heart to go down on my knees and pray while I was there in the office. And yes, I do pray and meditate always there in my office, but this was a different, and I often know when the Spirit of the Lord quickened me to do a certain thing, and we obey what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And on that day, God moved in a profound manner in which we spoke about it earlier and that we never experienced before. But I had to be obedient and hear what the Spirit of the Lord was saying unto my spirit, and I move in that and follow it. And when I did, we seen a profound manifestation of the Lord. Now, that's the law that I'm talking about. That's the law of the Spirit of life that supersede natural laws and things. When we hear the voice of our Lord and Savior, and that Spirit of life speaks to our hearts or move upon us, and we move and quicken ourselves and do what he said. We are not only the recipients of a wonderful spiritual experience, but we are called into new life in Christ. We are made conscious of the need of knowing and obeying the word of God. We have a new awareness. We are really linking our lives with his life, his divine life and purpose. Not I, but Christ is the expression of Paul and should be our expression. And this truth must be a reality to all of us. Now, Romans 6, verse 11 and 12 say, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey it in the lust thereof. Now, we got to recognize that you cannot allow that to reign in your body. God is saying, I've given you the power to subdue it. I've given you the power to overcome it. I've given you power to be more than a conqueror. And so we declare it by saying, I'm walking in the newness of life. I'm doing the will and the plan of the Lord, making up our mind to do it. The word reckon means to count, to regard, or to consider. We are now in a position to discard the demands of sin because we are released from its dominion. Through resurrection to the newness of life, we are given the power to make these choices for God and to carry them out. We never lose our freedom and responsibility to choose whose servant we will be. Since we are no longer the servant of sin, but we are now alive in Christ, we can develop a sensitivity to the things of the Spirit and learn to discard and the pull of the former desires. And to discard the pull of the former desire. And so there would be a pull on your life. But you got from the old man. But you can discard it now because the power of God is in you. And you can tell it. It have no dominion over you. You are a new creature. And you can speak to your old and declare it have no dominion over you. And walk in the newness of life. When sin and its effects are magnified above redemption and its accomplishment in our preaching and teaching, it often leaves people with a greater sin consciousness and a God consciousness. We need to consider Paul's view of God's gift. And let's look at Romans 5 and 15 out of the Waymoth word. It said, but God's free gift immeasurably outweighs the transgression. For if through the transgression of the one individual, the mass of mankind have died, infinitely greater is the generosity with which God's grace and the gift given in his grace have found expression in the one man, Jesus Christ, have been bestowed on the mass of mankind. So his grace have been bestowed on mankind. And we've talked about that out of John, chapter number 1. If you look at verse, I believe it's 16, it speaks in terms of the fullness. We have received the fullness of him and grace for grace. And that grace that is upon us, we have received a double portion of grace. For grace for grace has been exuded upon us. Now let's look at further, the sign of the resurrection and things. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, come see. And go quickly and tell his disciple he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And as they went to tell his disciple, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and beheld him by his feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. And you'll see that over in Matthew's chapter number 28, verses 1 through 2, Matthew also 5 through 7, Matthew 9 through 10, verses 9 through 10. What a profound impact this announcement must have been made upon the woman so heavily with grief. The angel stood as witnesses at the time of his birth, and now the angel of the Lord bore witness of his resurrected life. He spoke to their fear, fear not, and to their question, come, see, and then sent them on a mission, go quickly and tell. Now, Jesus had a planned meeting scheduled with his disciple in the mountains of Galilee. Here and other places in the nation, he would finish his teaching about the kingdom of God and commission his disciple to evangelize the world. 40 days of teaching by the risen Lord. What a time that must have been. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 3. And further, it is by any wonder that Peter and John were so bold in their declaration of the resurrection, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Acts chapter 4 and verse 20. Further, it says, Paul gave a strong testimony of the visible resurrection of the Christ. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, that same, that some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3-8. Now these are some of the infallible proofs of which Luke was speaking as he penned the book of Acts. You'll see that Acts chapter number 3. It is evidence that Jesus fellowshiped with his disciples many days after his resurrection. They walked with him until they returned from Galilee. From Galilee, they journeyed to Jerusalem, onto Bethany, where he commanded that they wait in Jerusalem. The Father promised was to be given. Then he came, was gone, taken up from them, and a cloud received them out of sight. Now let's look in conclusion here, the witness of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter identified the evidence of the upper room as evidence to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, 31-33 states, and seeing of this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all of witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promises of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which was now seen and which have been heard. Now, Jesus was true to his promise. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14 and 18. Jesus truly came to them in the fullness of his glorified presence. The mystery hidden from the ages past was not made manifest, which God, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 and verse 27. Now, the witness of the Holy Spirit in the world today is the testimony to the validity of Christ's resurrection. Joel prophesied is still coming to pass in nation and around the earth. Joel chapter 2, verses 28-29 state, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision, and also upon the servant and upon the maid, handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now, this witness was multiplied from 120 to hundreds of thousands, and spanned every age since the time of Pentecost. Saints have been martyred. Bibles have been burned. Religion freedom has been denied. But the witness goes on. The gospel of Jesus Christ has outlived its enemies and conquered its opponents and have buried them in the dust of the forgotten. The Church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. The gift of the Spirit are operative in the body, ministering to the needs of the church. The fruit of the Spirit is manifested in grace towards the world. Christ's resurrected life draws mankind out of himself into Christ. Christ's victory over death, hell, and the grave was the cause of celebration. During the celebration, it was the custom for the victory to give gifts to their friends, as trophies of triumph. The scripture, Ephesians 4 and 8 state, wherefore he has said, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The Holy Spirit is a personal trophy of Christ triumphing in the life of his individual. Further, in view of the fact of Christ's suffering and obedience, Christ has highly exalted him above principalities and power and has bestowed upon him the name that is above all other names. And that is that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father, Philippians 2, verses 10 through 11. Jesus spoken of as the firstborn of the dead, Colossians 1 and 18. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he died again. Jesus was raised from the dead to die no more. Death have no dominion over him. Just as Jesus was raised from the dead, so we likewise shall be raised to life eternal, to die no more. Today we see Jesus as our great high priest, exalted on the right hand of the majesty on high, Hebrews 1 and 3. Nothing can be added to or taken from the accomplishments of Calvary. Neither man nor devil can stop the forward march of the true and righteousness. The scripture Ecclesiastes 3 and 14 say, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God does doeth it that man should fear before him. Now, a new relationship was established between individual and between individuals and God. In Christ, all radical and all barriers have been disappeared, and all are counted as nothing. Only the new creatures in Christ is in this order. The great creator and become our savior and redeemer. He bought us back from the fall of Adam in Eden. We are redeemed by his precious blood. Satan has lost his dominion over all who are in Christ Jesus. God reaches us in Christ. He brought us into existence as a new creation. Our obedience to God's plan of identification with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection will make us new creation in him. Oh, child of God, child of God, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our church today. He is doing and has wrought a new work in and through our lives. And child of God, I encourage you as never before to walk in that newness of life and watch God do great and mighty things in and through your life. Truly, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our life. I can hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open unto you. Child of God, God wants to bless your life as never before. And so in my closing, I pray that you continue to seek the heart and mind of God as never before. Seek me with your whole heart, and you will be found. I will be found of you because you sought me with your whole heart and mind. And so, child of God, continue to seek the heart and mind of God. Continue to move forward in the things of God. Continue to declare that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And behold, the old is passed away, and behold, the new, all things are become new. And so, child of God, as I close out today, I want to encourage you to walk in the newness of life and watch God do a great and mighty thing in and through your holy life. God loves you, and he's going to bless you and do great and mighty things in and through your life. So be thou blessed, be thou strengthened, be thou encouraged, because the God in which you serve, he's able to do all things but fail. God bless you is my prayer. Bye-bye.